cliffcentral.com.
Katy Perry with Rise.
Yes.
And we know what she does when she and Orlando are on a canoe.
They get naked?
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't. She's quite boring, guys. Come on.
No, she's not. I don't think she's so boring.
She's not as boring as Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Well,
that woman is boring as fuck.
Obviously. But when you look at those pictures, there's Orlando with his oar out. And then there's Katy going, ah, another day in the sun. Yeah, well, this guy got his pants off again.
She's seen it before 100 times. She could care less. The rest of the world's still talking about it. Hey, by the way, you know who's really having a good time at the moment?
Mm-mm.
Getting a lot of interest, a lot of action. He's on the line.
Oh.
You want to talk to him quickly before we get to justice?
Yeah, okay, sure.
It's Brad Pitt's penis, Mubs.
Oh.
Go ahead and...
Hello.
Are you actually Brad Pitt's penis?
Yeah, hi, I'm Brad Pitt's penis. I'm having the best time ever.
Right. Tell us about your best time.
Oh, I have not stopped since Angelina went and announced that we're getting divorced. I have not stopped. I have been running around Hollywood like a madman. It's been such a long time for me. With all those kids screaming the whole time, I lost my libido and my sex drive completely. You know we had 23 kids. Now I am living it up, baby. Leonardo DiCaprio, watch out, you got some competition.
What, you couldn't find time to cheat while married to Angelina? What's wrong with you?
Cheating? Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Do you know how tough that woman is? Did you ever see Mr. and Mrs. Smith? That's where I fell in love with her. Anyway, it's all over now, we've moved on, and I'm having the busiest season ever. Ladies, line it up! Woo! Grab them by the pussy!
Oh, thank no, you. Brad's penis.
Well, at least you know it's Brad's penis, not Brad. He would never talk to
no,
you.
No, he would never.
Can you imagine? Brad Pitt, he's been like in a relationship, he's been a dad, and now suddenly he's going to unleash himself on all those women again.
Oh, goodness.
Look out!
They'll be ready and waiting and hell welcoming.
Yes. All right, who wants to speak to Justice Malala?
Yeah, we have to.
Every week there's some new crisis for him to figure out with us. Is he on the line, Flax? Awesome. Let's go to the man who knows everything. Well, that's what I say. He will deny it, but I do believe he has more information than the rest of us. I don't know how, but here he is. The Burning Platform, it's brought to you by Nando's every single Thursday just after 7 o'clock. Justice Malala, good morning. You're in Cape Town today.
Good morning, guys. Can't you continue with that conversation?
Well, can you believe Brad Pitt's penis? I mean, unreal what that guy's getting up to.
Now, that's one busy individual, almost, but not quite as busy as I am. Anyway, let's talk politics then.
Yeah, let's talk politics. Where do we begin? Shall we start with this Sean Abrahams and the NPA and Pravin Gordhan? And you've had a day or two to digest all of this madness. Justice, what can you tell us?
Well, I mean, should we just stop? I mean, I don't think it's very interesting. What do you think? It's just par for the course, almost. No, I mean, it's serious, Gareth. I think it's yet another illustration of the turbulent times that we live in. I think the first thing to consider about the charges, and, you know, all of us have been saying, something's going on, but we didn't think with the medium-term budget policy statement that Pravin has to make in a few weeks that the timing would be so bad. And it reminds us of what happened in February when, again, the charges were suddenly sprung up and he had a budget to deliver just a few weeks after that. And it's what's going on here exactly with the timing.
Yeah, there's absolutely no strategy from the president's people on this. I mean, if they thought it through properly, they might be able to swing it in their favor a little bit more. You know, if they timed it better, it would look like they actually had a couple of goals in mind, like they had the country's good at the heart of their decision making. But there's nothing that would indicate that.
No, there's nothing to indicate it. And so I think we should talk about why is this thing happening and why is it going to happen again? Because my view is that it will happen again. And the reason it's happening is that there is a big, big fight going on inside the ANC. Many people say, in fact, that it's not a fight, that there is essentially two ANCs, One built around President Zuma and one built around a number of individuals, the veterans like Ahmed Kathrada, people like Cyril Ramaphosa, Pravin Gordhan, Kgalema Motlanthe, certainly others. And they are at war with each other. If the ANC doesn't admit that essentially it's half of it, or more than half of it, is fighting the other 40%, then it's in trouble. And so what we're seeing, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that what we are seeing is one faction of the ANC, and that's a faction built around President Zuma, using the NPA to say, go after Pravin Gordhan because we don't want him sitting there as finance minister. Remember when President Zuma said that he believed that Des van Rooyen was absolutely the most qualified person for this job? Well, he absolutely meant it, because what we see now is essentially an attempt to either bring Des van Rooyen back to that job or to bring someone else who is as pliable, as pliant as Des van Rooyen. So I don't think it's over. I think so long as that battle inside the ANC continues, so long as people believe, that they can use state institutions like the NPA to go after people that they don't like, people that they believe are on the other side of the fence, I think we should prepare ourselves. Those people who, I don't know if Anthea was what she had to say about all this stuff, but you think if you have shares in FNB or Standard Bank or Capitec and so forth, 34 billion rand in the value of those shares was wiped off just by the act on Tuesday by Jonathan Barnes. So I think it's going to happen again, because that fight inside the ANC is still going on.
You know, I had an interesting discussion with someone who is a kind of an influential business person yesterday, and they said to me that really what we've got here is those two ANCs you spoke of, but the ANC under the president is very much a network of patronage, right? There's no surprise there. But that network of patronage is a very expensive thing to keep up, because you can't pay everybody all the time unless you have the keys to the treasury. So this is the last ditch attempt. This is the final desperate action of a president who realizes unless he gets his hands on some cash, some serious cash, he isn't going to be able to afford to keep that network of patronage in place. And without the money, these people will turn on him immediately. So he's also in a desperate position, and certainly these kinds of moves betray someone who is acting not in confidence and making bold moves because they believe they're in a powerful position to do so, but someone who is increasingly fighting like a caged animal in a corner.
I think you're absolutely right. I think this is, you know, the key thing, and one of the reasons why we have so much risk going forward, is that it's he's fighting like a caged animal, but there are people standing up to him, and so it's not a foregone conclusion. He knows that he can't win. So one of the things that's happened, and I think we should talk about it a bit, is that the NPA then says, Pravin Gordhan, you must appear in court on the 2nd of November. And what that does is take because now you can
sorry say, just justice can you repeat that again? We lost you for a second there on Skype. Just you say on the 2nd of November he has to appear in court, and what that does,
can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead. Oi Flex, try and get him back on a better line. I don't know what's happened there. Obviously, someone in the hotel that Justice is in has just suddenly started downloading torrents and torrents of porn.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's clearly what happened.
It's hotel capture. It happens.
It's hotel capture. The creepiest, sleaziest people in the hotel capture the internet in that hotel for porn.
For pornography.
Hey, by the way, I've still got the slowest internet in the universe at home. Despite everybody's attempts, I've had... the service provider. I've had the telephone network. Nobody can figure it out. I'm getting like 2.8 megs a second.
Look, at least you're not still relying on a dongle.
How rude. How do you know about my dongle? You don't know the first thing about my dongle. Sorry, back to Justice Malala, and he was busy telling us about what's going to happen when Praveen looks at that that summons to appear in court on the 2nd. Justice was just about to tell us what that means, and then at that crucial moment, we got cut off, which sounds like it should be something conspiratorial. Justice, you back?
I'm back. Hi.
All right, sorry, where were we? You were saying the 2nd of November, and then we got cut off.
Okay. So I think there is a move that we should consider, and this move is what happens now. You remember, and we spoke a lot about this last year when the ANC went to its NGC, the National General Council. And the General Council, the ANC said, we have too many people who are guilty, or not guilty, sorry, who are charged with crimes, who don't step down when the charges are laid against them. And so we need to bring back a culture in the industry where people, when they are charged, they have to step down and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after that NGC, what happened was that Marius Fanfan was charged with sexual harassment at the ANC's January 8th statement shindig in the Northwest. And he was forced to step down until he's resolved those issues against him. Now, for me, what happens with Pavin Gordhan facing charges of two charges of fraud? The move is essentially to say to him, my friend, you know the rules of the ANC, you know what we've said, and you know, it's not my fault that the rules say this. So perhaps you should step down. So what you're seeing is no, I'm not going to do a renegade where I'm going to fire someone. And they, of their own accord and their own moral standing, must say, surely this is untenable. Surely this can work. And so, you know, I'll step down. And so that, at the moment, is a big consideration because Tarvin is a man of honor, is a man of all this and all that and all that. Mm-hmm. Should he, will he step down of his own volition? Will he be advised by people like the ANC to do the right thing and step down? And if he does, therefore, we are going to have a new finance minister. And who will that finance minister be? And I think it's something that we need to start considering, because essentially what we see in the chess game is that President Zuma has essentially would say that the institutions are doing their work and he's just implementing. Remember in 2005,
mm-hmm.
when he faced charges of corruption and so forth around the army, probably he went to Parliament and said, my comrade, my friend, Jacob Zuma, is facing charges and I've decided to release him because he's got to go and fight all these serious charges against him. So I think the storybook is pretty much the same. Now the storybook is the reason by the fact that Pavin says, no, I'm not going anywhere. But I think the pressure is on him now to step down. And President Zuma may say, you know, I think you're innocent. I back you 100%. But I think you should go and fight this thing because it's terrible. So I think we should factor the possibility of a cabinet reshuffle in the next few weeks. And that cabinet reshuffle will be interesting to see who gets to be the gatekeeper at the National Treasury, because that person, in the first month of their tenure, you will probably hear that definitely the money is available for nuclear bills, but maybe the money is not available for Peace Mass Walker. Certainly big projects which will allow huge amounts of cash to go into the system of customers, will definitely happen. Okay. So what you businessmen are saying has huge resonance because the gate has to be open at national treasury. And this is what this fight is about. It's about the money that is not, that is being blocked from going into God as national treasury. And people will do whatever they can to make that happen.
Justice, this is. I love this telephone line that we're on at the moment because it sounds fantastic. It sounds like you're in a bathroom inside a bathroom. But for a minute, because I don't want to lose the opportunity to talk to you about this in a week where there are so many questions. There are people who say that the president might have overplayed his hand. What do you make of that? Do you think that he's this is a one of the few cards that he has left to play? Because some would say that, you know, he's actually, he's pretty much unstoppable at the moment. He's that tsunami that he was called a couple of years ago.
I think he's come close, but I don't think it's overplayed to the extent that it's overplayed. I think right now he knows the stakes and the pressure on him from people around him to deliver on certain things are huge. But he remains. He remains with significant support inside the ANC. And as I've said before, and as I always say to Mabale, you know what? You and I can write and talk and talk and talk. At the end of the day, power lies in the National Executive Committee of the ANC. Mm. And inside that ANC, more than 50%, I would say still about 60%, support President Zuma and believe that he's doing a good job and wants to continue. And so if the NEC has another meeting in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, it will say, how are we doing? 60% will say, President Zuma is doing fantastically well. We must keep going. So it will kick the ball down the line. And I think we are essentially sitting with a president who is still in significant power in the ANC. So I don't think he has totally overplayed his hand. I think that he's under pressure. There's fees must fall, there's other pressures, but he remains in charge. And you know, yesterday the rand fought back, came back to about 14.05 to the dollar. So, you know, he can point to that as saying, see, it happens and then it goes away. It's fine. So I don't think he's totally finished. I think he's pretty close, but he'll remain in power for now.
Justice, I'm going to leave the rest until next week. We've got to talk about Kwesi. We've got to talk about fees must fall. But this line is so terrible that and there's no point in carrying on. People are. I'm sorry. I really am. I wanted to hear more from Justice. It's just a bad connection. I don't know. We got the worst phone in the universe. The one into the studio is the. I think it goes from here to Afghanistan, and then it comes through Afghanistan via Basra in Iraq, into Damascus in Syria, Aleppo, and then here to us.
Oh, I think the problem must occur in Aleppo then.
Oh my God. Because have you ever heard such a terrible phone line in your life? Here, this is our phone. Hi, good morning. Cliffcentral.com, touchcentral.fm. Hello. Like those two-way radios. We're meant to be on the and
it's 2016.
Yeah. How can we have such shitty technology?
Should we give him like just two cans and a piece of string next time?
I think it would sound better.
Yeah.
God knows. I mean, Justice doesn't stay in shitty hotels. There's got to be. We had a great Skype line for about 5 minutes, and then it became.
Doesn't terrible. It depend what side of that mountain he's on?
Oh, Cape Town.
Yeah, see, Cape Town's the problem here.
It is a problem.
Yeah, Cape Town skirt is around the problem. Cape Town's the problem.
Yeah.
All right. Don't worry. We're going to give you more than your fill today of how South Africa works or doesn't work. When we talk to Richard Calland, he's published a new book called Make or Break, which I'm very excited to talk to him about. How the next 3 years will shape South Africa's next three decades. I remember reading his former book when Thabo Mbeki was president, and it gave me insight into how things were happening under Thabo Mbeki, which I don't think I would have got from anyone else. So Richard Callan does the research. He comes here, he tells you about it, and if you buy his book, you can know everything. I mean, that's not a bad sales pitch, right? If you really are interested, then you'll have to hear what he has to say. It's coming up in a short while. We'll talk to him after 8. Plenty of news, plenty of other things to talk to and to get to. You can call us on 0861-555-189. Headlines coming up. Right. It's Travie McCoy featuring Sia. I knew I recognized that voice. And Golden. By the way, I still think it's really funny that Sia writes all these brilliant songs. She offers them to people like Rihanna. Rihanna says, no thanks, I don't need it. And Sia goes off and records it and gets to number one. Like, she can do whatever she wants. She's writing all the hit songs.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't decide to sing them herself, she still makes the money.
Who do you think's busier, Sia or Justice Malala?
Why, are you worried that Justice is too busy at the moment? You think he's...
I think he must be. He arrives here, he's always tired looking. I mean, he sends messages at like all hours of the day.
Yeah.
So it's between him and Sia is the most busiest person on earth.
I got a message from Justice Malala last night at 12:45.
You see, I mean, why is he still awake at 12:45? He's very busy, that man.
Who knows what he's doing? All right. Thank you, Justice. We'll catch up with him again next week. All right. On to important stuff in the headlines. Mabalemoloi, what do you got for us?
All right. A quick roundup of the current state of affairs at some of our tertiary institutions in the country.
Uh-oh.
The Fees Must Fall protest took a deadly turn in Cape Town yesterday when a 26-year-old was arrested for attempted murder during protests. Three security guards at the Cape Peninsula University of Technology were attacked in the campus security room.
Oh my God.
Students allegedly torched the building at the Bellville campus and left these men there. What are you thinking when you set fire to a room and then you leave people inside it?
You don't think. You're a menace to society.
So a 26-year-old was arrested and will appear in the Bellville Magistrates Court today on charges of attempted murder, arson, and malicious damage to property. Then in Pretoria...
I suppose those three security guards are all right. Otherwise, it would have been murder,
yes,
not attempted.
Thank goodness they're all right.
Aye.
In Pretoria, protesters brought the city centre to a standstill, forcing businesses to close and employees to flee. And then in Durban, a number of arrests were made after two buildings were torched at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. But here's the kicker. Police discovered that one of those arrested was not even enrolled at the institution.
Of course not.
He's not a student.
This thing is no longer about fees. I'm sorry. The whole Fees Must Fall movement, you've lost control of it. It's been perverted. You don't have any reason to be protesting right now unless you're just a violent thug. The whole thing's lost credibility. Nobody's listening. Get back to university if you are a student. And if you're not a student... What the hell are you doing joining in on all this as an opportunity for you to steal?
This is my question. If you're not a student and you are involved in these protests, who are you and why are you there?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
UNISA management has forfeited its 2016 bonuses and they have decided to put 10 million rand into a kitty to go towards fees for deserving poor students.
Oh, shame. All these academics are so scared. They're all so terrified because they realize like this could be a very dire outcome for higher education as a whole. So now they're all suddenly starting. I mean, like 10 million rand is going to make a difference in the big scheme of things. I applaud them. Naturally, it's a nice gesture. But I've never seen lecturers so afraid of their students. The power has shifted in a direction that you can't fix by being nice and accommodating. It's gone. Lecturers, from here on in, lecturers would do well if they even managed to get a lecture going. They have suddenly become the student and the student has become the teacher. And the students are shouting and screaming. They're supposedly there to learn, but it appears that they're actually there to teach and to school the lecturers. And I feel sorry for these academics because they mean well. They're probably, a lot of them have tenure at some of these universities and are hoping that they can continue to work there and do their own research to to hopefully educate and improve the lives of all the students who pass through their halls. But unfortunately, that is not the priority right now for a lot of the students. And I just do feel it's got out of control. And nobody's in a position where they have enough influence and leadership to turn it around. So, you know what? Good luck. Bye-bye.
The principal and vice-chancellor...
Sail down the river.
The principal and vice-chancellor of UNISA, Professor Mandla Makanya, said... we understand the plight of the students for free education, but given the challenges that this worthy cause encompasses and the reality that it cannot be achieved overnight, we thought it imperative to make our contribution to try and alleviate the dire, dire situation. Makanya said that there has been a steady decline in the number of students getting NSFAS funding. So I guess, you know, they are trying to do something. And then Winnie Madikizela Mandela's nephew is expected to appear in the Orlando Magistrates Court today on a charge of theft after the 83,000 rand in cash that she got for her birthday went missing. I don't know if you heard about this.
And it was stolen by her nephew?
Well, listen. He's appearing in court today. I mean,
family.
So Winnie Madikizela Mandela celebrated her 80th birthday and somebody, I don't know who, gifted her with stacks of cash, right? But like cold, hard cash. They didn't do an EFT, no. They gave her the cash. So Winnie takes the cash in a bag. She goes home. Next thing you know, it goes missing. A gentleman by the name of Colin Mtileni, he works at the Madikizela Mandela household in Soweto. He was the one who opened a case against the nephew, Zolile Madikizela, because he said, I saw him do it.
Jesus, what a family. Imagine you take cash. First of all, we've got to investigate just how it is that people, I mean, there must be such nefarious stuff going on when you can hand someone 83 thou in cash.
In cash.
A big fat wad of cash. And they carry that around like it's just normal. And I mean, who doesn't think that at 80 whatever years old, Winnie isn't an important part of our political landscape? And some people love her and some people hate her. And I don't have any axe to grind there. Let Winnie enjoy her retirement. So whatever people want to give her as a gift, that's their business. But then for your nephew, of all the people, what kind of a person steals from old people?
This happens every single day. Day, Gareth, in families. It happens every single day.
I've never taken anything from my parents.
Every day it happens, I'm telling you right now. So the nephew, Zolile, appeared in court briefly. He was not granted bail. It was reported that the cash went missing when Winnie went to go and check for it in her bag. I suppose this was the morning after it had been gifted
Winnie
to her.
Winnie was like, I feel like going and buying some groceries. But I've got that cash from last night.
I've got 83,000.
She goes to her bag and she rummages around a little bit.
Then it's gone.
That's strange. I wonder. I'm sure that I had a huge wad of cash in my bag.
Yeah. And that's the latest.
What's the bet he won't be visiting the house anytime soon?
Well, I mean,
staying over for the night.
He wasn't granted bail the last time, so it sounds like he's locked up currently.
Okay, he's got a different place to sleep.
And he'll be appearing in court again today.
Wow. This is like our royal family. And they behave like this with each other. How are we meant to behave with them? You know, the father of our nation, a man who everyone in the world respected, and Winnie's nephew, obviously that's married, you know, they're married in, but Winnie's nephew, let the kid sleep in her house, and he goes into her bag and he takes 83 thou out of her bag and he thinks, there's nothing will happen. Wow, people are just brazen.
Yeah, people are greedy, man.
Jesus.
People are greedy.
Jesus. All right. Anything else you need to tell us, or should we get to Ben and the sport?
We can get to the sport.
All right, Ben, what do you got for us this morning?
The Proteas are really good at one-day internationals again. Well, they beat the current Aussie team 5-0. I don't know where it puts them in the ICC rankings, but ultimately India will probably go on top because I think that's how world cricket works. You do well, India profits.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see when the new rankings come out. Look, they might be number one. It's a good thing. But then I'll go to Australia. So 3rd of November, we'll see the first test between these two teams. then the a test series that will also include a day-night test. And a day-night test will take place today in Dubai between Pakistan and West Indies. That is Pakistan's home ground, because they don't have a home ground. So very interesting times in cricket. England beat Bangladesh yesterday in a three-match ODI series. And that's the first time Bangladesh have lost a series there, I think, in the last seven. So good on you, England, with new with new people with funny names. English people have the funniest names.
Yeah, very
they
strange.
They really do. It's very odd. We'll get into that some different feature.
Ponsonby Hardcock the Third.
Yeah, and he scored 23 not out yesterday. In golf, it's the British Masters on the European Tour, and then it's the Safeway something or other on the USPGA Tour. This was going to be the comeback of Tiger Woods, but now that Tiger Woods is not coming back, it's just some other tournament that no one really cares about anymore.
No.
Tiger's not going to come back. I hate to burst your bubble, but we'll all move on. Just let him be. Let him do what he wants. Let's all just move on now. Enough.
You need to find a new hero.
Enough. In fighting, Tyson Fury has decided to vacate his belt. Come to terms with the fact that he's a bit of a drug addict, and he'll be back at some stage, but no time in the near future. And Ronda Rousey, well, she's her face is back to looking what it used to look like. Huh. All her teeth are in place, so she's ready to fight again. December the 30th, you'll be able to see her back in the ring.
It's very hardcore, these women who fight, huh?
Yeah, you have to be.
Mess around.
You have to be. In football news, Sundowns will take on Zamalek this weekend. It's the CAF Champions League final. It's the biggest thing on the continent. And Sundowns will take the first leg at 3 o'clock this Saturday, and then 21st of October will be the return leg. So Sundowns looking for a very big start here to take some sort of a lead when they go to the top of the continent and try to get a trophy, which is, well, like I said, it's the biggest thing. Not since 2001 have they had a chance to win this. Back then, Al Ahly beat them.
All right.
In other news, well, we've got PSL back in action, English Premier League back in action, and Rugby Currie Cup semi-finals. So you've got a big weekend ahead.
Thank you very much, Ben. There's a look at your sport for this morning. And here's a question for you. Be honest. Don't lie to me. Are you single and you're looking for something? Are you looking for a little relationship? You're looking for a little fun, maybe a hookup, maybe something more long-term. Maybe you're at that stage where you really want to commit to something, but you just can't find the right person. Tell the truth. Is that you? Because if you're single in the city and you're nervous about dating apps, but you're looking to find someone special, there is a solution for you. Now, we all know that there are a bunch of international dating apps out there. Mubs has tried them all. As soon as anyone replies, she checks them out, and her standards are just so high, she says no. But South Africa has finally got its very own app, made especially for you. It is launching this month, and we're very proud here at Touch Central and on this show to be able to launch with these guys. The dating app is called Wongo, as in, want to go for coffee?
Ah, nice.
No, you want, because you spell it Wango, but you pronounce it Wongo.
Okay.
So, Flax, how do you say Wongo for a coffee?
Wongo for a coffee?
It's been created to take the stress out of online dating, a place to meet quality people. It's safe, it's simple, it's stress-free. Dating made perfect. Download on your app store now at Wongo app, and you can find out more. That's at WANGOAPP, at Wongo app. Go and take a look at it. And you know what? The worst that could happen is you don't find your perfect person today. You might find them tomorrow. But that's still better than not even trying and ending up a lonely, sad, bitter and twisted old bachelor or spinster. Don't let that happen to you. We all know some sad individual who just couldn't find anyone. Not that they didn't want to, they couldn't.
So are you going on the app is what you're saying?
No, Gareth is happy to be alone.
You really think I should beleaguer anyone else on this earth with living with me?
You made it quite personal towards the end there.
No, I was just talking about Mubs and both of us. We've got, this is our forecast. But listen, not for everybody to be single, but for some people, you know, you're looking for someone. This could be the solution to your problems. And there's nothing embarrassing about finding true love on the internet.
No, not in a modern world.
No, everybody's doing that. That's where everyone is. So yesterday we had Mohammed on, and here's an email from Rob. He says, F me. That guy yesterday, Mohammed, is such a, and then there's more expletives, like really focusing on such stupid aspects that won't have any positive effects on society except its downfall. The type of mindset is why South Africa's burning, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, peace and love from Amsterdam. So this is Rob from Amsterdam. Who knew he had political opinions? Isn't he high most of the time?
Yeah.
No, Gareth, it's not. He's writing on behalf of the cat.
You remember that? Oh, he's got a cat. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought that that Muhammad dude from yesterday, I thought he meant well.
He does mean well. I mean, what the hell were you doing in your first year at university?
I was doing nothing good.
He cares about something, you know?
And if, you know, of course, he's in first year. He doesn't know how to solve the world's problems.
I know. That's another thing. He's young still. Like, right. don't come down so hard on he's young. He's, you know, he'll learn.
Right, everybody.
He'll learn the ways of this cruel, harsh world.
No.
Let people grow into themselves, men.
Exactly. Thank you, Mabali. A bit of wisdom from Mubs there. On a day where we need a whole lot of wisdom. Okay, got a couple of other emails we'll get to in a second. We'll take your calls, 0861-555-189. We'll speak to Richard Calland, who's written a new book called Make or Break.
Do you want to be the next First Lady of the Touchdown?
Touch Central is looking for the First Lady of the Touchdown. Simply download the Touch Central app. Send us a message through the Touch Central app.
And listen in
every day between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday from the 4th of October till the 4th of November 2016. For more T's and C's, go to the Touch Central website.
TouchCentral.fm.
There she is again. I swear I press play and it's Sia.
Yeah, it is.
This woman is working hard for her money. She's giving Anthea a run for it.
She's going to do the news tomorrow at this rate.
Yeah.
We're going to be here and suddenly, oh, look, it's Sia doing the news.
Sia with Kendrick Lamar and this one, the greatest. Mubs just asked me, what does it mean if you have one tick on WhatsApp?
I need a refresher course on WhatsApp 101.
Yeah, I don't know. Flax, you're the expert on this. All right, so you get three different scenarios. There's one tick, then there are two ticks, and then there's two blue ticks. Right?
So the blue tick war. Some say it's the start of World War III.
No, come on. Don't be dramatic here. Right?
Some say it's stronger than nuclear warfare. Yeah.
Flex, let's begin with one gray tick.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means either the person's phone's off or they've blocked you as a contact.
Yes,
so that means it's half sent. It's sent from your side, but it hasn't been received on their side.
Okay.
Two gray ticks
means it's sent on your side and it has been received on their side.
On their phone, but they haven't read it yet.
Yes.
Okay.
Then once they've read it, those two gray ticks turn blue. And then either they have responded or in the worst case scenario, they haven't responded.
And that means they hate you.
It doesn't mean they hate you directly. It means there are issues at play.
I was offended.
And you do start questioning your relationship.
Hmm. Do you ever send a follow-up message when you've seen two blue ticks but you haven't got a response? Do you ever send a follow-up message demanding that they reply?
No, I go straight and defriend you on Facebook.
Oh.
That's our relationship.
Very dramatic.
No, Flex. Well, it depends. So if it's something that's work related and I really need information from you, I will follow up and say, "Hey, listen, can you just please respond to what I asked?" You know, because I obviously need something from you.
Yeah.
But with personal relationships, no, if people don't want to respond to you, they don't want to respond to you.
You know, this stuff is more important these days than actually meeting someone and looking them in the eye and figuring out what they think, because this is. There's an element of private behavior going on, and there's an element of public behavior going on. And if someone is not going to acknowledge that you sent them a message, you can read a whole lot of things into that that may be true or may not.
Yeah, because this is our new way of communicating now. So that's why we take it so personally.
Yeah. You know what really grates my tits?
What?
When somebody's blue-ticked me, and then I'm like, okay, let me send them another message. And as I'm like about to type that message, I see they typing, which means they typing to somebody else, which they couldn't type to me. That's when I go, you're...
Michael, you've really got to grow up, huh? At some stage, there's other people in the world, not you. That person could be talking to their mother or
still
someone else. Like, it's not just about you.
If I have the time to message you, you must take the time to just reply, even if you send a K or a KK. Okay.
And then the other three people that person's talking to at the same time?
Speaking of people messaging you, you're the producer of the show. I got a message yesterday from Pearl Tusi.
Yeah.
She wants to know if you hate her, why you haven't got hold of her. Remember, we were trying to set her up to talk to her about all the things she's doing in America.
Her PR team told me to hold off on it as she's really busy at the moment.
Well, can we tell her that? Because she seems to think now I don't want to talk to her.
Her PR team even told me not to deal with her directly anymore.
Who are these people? She's messaging me directly. We're talking. I know her. Pearl knows me. We're friends. Who are these PR people? Get them on the line. I want to talk to these people. How dare they insert themselves in our relationship?
Oh, dear.
Motherfuckers.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Meanwhile, they're just doing their job, hey? Like, that's what they're hired to do.
How dare they? It's none of their business. I won't show them the pictures that Pearl sends me late at night. And she won't show them the pictures I sent.
Okay, now.
Now I'm angry. All right, listen, we got a couple of minutes left before we go to Richard Calland. I'm very excited to speak to him, and I think a lot of people at the moment are just desperately looking for some sort of pattern. What I mean by that is that the ANC is hard enough to read, even when things are good. At the moment, there is such a fractured kaleidoscope of stuff going on inside of the ANC that you can't even tell whether the people inside still want to be inside. And you hear comments from influential people outside of the ANC. You hear comments from influential people inside the ANC. And sometimes they're speaking completely at cross purposes. It's very hard to figure out what's going on. And as Justice Malala said a moment ago when we did the burning platform, he was talking about how the real power rests with the NEC, the National Executive Committee. But who knows what their modus operandi is. I mean, how do they determine which way they're going to go on an important issue? And surely, in the modern world, that kind of stuff shouldn't be cloak and dagger and behind closed doors and malleable to the extent that the president can populate the NEC with sycophants who enable him to just continue operating entirely on his own course without having to be accountable to anyone. Surely not. Well, we'll find out. All of these answers can be surmised by Richard Calland. He wrote a great book a couple of years ago, which I read from cover to cover, and it really helped me to understand how Thabo Mbeki's administration ran, and introduced to me a number of names that I had no idea even existed. A bunch of people in the presidency who later on ended up showing that they were, in fact, sometimes the power behind the throne. People like Mojangu Gumbi and Frank Chikane and people like that who were very much part of the center console of the Thabo Mbeki administration's control panel. And really, Richard does a lot of work in this field, so this is something that he's the expert in, and I'm very keen to just pick his brain about what's going on at the moment. He's got a couple of forecasts and scenarios. He says that the next 3 years will shape our next 3 decades. So that's quite a lot to think about, right?
Absolutely.
But just on current affairs, there's been an interesting tweet from Musi Maimane.
Oh, what is Mama Musi saying?
He tweeted about 2 hours ago saying, "We are reliably informed that there is a high-powered Russian delegation in SA this week to sign a nuclear deal. Explains why Praveen must go quick."
Well,
reliably informed.
That's that $1 trillion nuclear deal that we got to do.
Well, we spoke about
going to bankrupt us, right?
Zuma needing money. $1 trillion is a lot of money.
I don't know if it's dollars or rands, by the way. All I remember is the trillion.
It's a trillion rand.
Oh my God!
And just a few days ago, our energy minister Tina Jomart Peterson, she revealed that Eskom is going to be funding the government's nuclear program with its own balance sheet. To which the DA reacted very negatively to, and they said, "No, no, 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 no!
Right.
Eskom must not go anywhere near this nuclear deal." So interesting tweet by Musi Maimane.
Listen, our whole GDP is only $350.6 billion.
Okay, but that's dollar.
Yeah. So let's do the where's my computer?
I need to
get my calculator out. All right, Ben, you're better at this than me. Can you help us?
Come on, sure.
Try. All right. Ben, get out your calculator there. I need you to figure out what a trillion rand is in dollars.
Oh, Gareth, you can't put that on a computer. My phone's going to explode.
It's Ben. Not a Samsung. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's going to become one after this.
Ben, come on. I need your help here. I can't do this. My maths is terrible. I can't even add single-digit numbers. Please, pull out the old machine.
So what's your question?
A trillion rand is how many dollars?
Okay. So a trillion is...
Please, can someone who's smarter than all of us...
That's nine zeros, right?
Ay vey, really?
That's nine zeros, right? Can we... I'm asking you.
Yeah, what is it? Is it nine or 12 zeros?
I got to write it down.
A million is six.
A million is six, a billion is nine, a trillion is 12.
I suddenly feel like I'm doing my homework and the teacher's watching me.
We are working this out.
Okay,
so
wait, hang a second.
A trillion is 12 zeros.
A trillion rand is...
Okay.
69
Here
billion.
It is, guys. Yeah, 699 billion, 898 million, and 70. No, I'm kidding.
No. 69 billion.
Yeah, 69 billion, 989 million, 800,000 US dollars. Mm. All right. Now, 69 billion is what it's going to...
70 billion dollars.
Yeah, that's what it's going to cost. Our whole GDP is only 350.6 billion. This is huge. We can't afford. Why is this even a debate? And they're trying to push this through because you could bet your bottom dollar there's some back end action for someone in government.
Can you imagine the political commission on a trillion rand?
That's going to be big.
Because that's like what, 38%?
So essentially what this means is that if in fact Eskom do fund this project, it will put them in the driving seat when it comes to the procurement process.
We know how well things work out when Eskom is in the driving seat.
Oh boy. How much money did they lose at once upon a time?
Listen, do you remember load shedding? Do you know that we're still paying for the mistakes that Eskom have made? It's the only business that anyone can think of that actually asked people to use less of their product and charged them more for that, and still ran at a loss.
Okay, but I mean, if Musi Maimane's tweet is to be believed, there's a Russian delegation here to sign this deal. So it sounds like it's already a done thing, done and dusted. They're here to sign, not to negotiate still.
But they need Praveen's signature, right? This is what this is all about. So if they can oust him and then get Weekend Special in while the Russians are still here.
Weekend Special in.
Well, I don't know how it works, but it all sounds very nefarious to me. Some secret delegation visiting. I don't like the sound of that. It doesn't sound kosher. And all of this around Yom Kippur, how dare they? Really? Okay, let's get on with it. We've got lots to do today. I want to get to Richard Calland. He's coming up next. TouchCentral.fm, CliffCentral.com. Good morning. It's Thursday. CliffCentral.com.